So glad you're here today, and it's an exciting day. It's an exciting day. I thought to myself, how shall I open that? You know, here's the deal. I was in New Jersey, and I went to a friend's funeral and burial, and at the cemetery, it was an interesting thing because I saw a grave marker of a, what do they call that? With you pay money and to park, a parking meter as a grave marker. Yeah, it was really, and it was interesting too, because they had on it expired. And I thought that's pretty funny, but not really, because they have no idea where they probably were going. Probably had no idea. And I thought to myself, this is pretty tragic. It is pretty tragic. I have to admit to you today that I think about death almost every day. Every day, I think about death. And I think about eternity. What is eternity going to be? Type of thing. Except from the Word of God, we don't know. Except from the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and physical resurrection, not only don't we know, but we have no hope. And we have in our possession the incredible gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, right? We have this. We're so excited about it. It's unbelievable. We're so thrilled about it. But think about this. Somebody told you about Jesus. Whether it was your mom, dad, both of them together, aunt, uncle, somebody told you and risked their relationship with you in telling you about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you could know for sure you could go to heaven. My friend John Gorman made a great comment one time. He said, what could be more important in human history than telling somebody how to get to heaven? What could be more important than that? I think that is certainly true. So we're going to discuss today a little bit about, a lot of people say, well, I really want to do this. I really want to do this, but I don't know how. I don't know how to do it. Where do I start? Where do I start with this? Where do I begin? And that's what we're going to talk about. Or how to lead and an adult to Christ. That is so auto-corrected. It's unbelievable. And I'm just really upset about that, but not really. Okay, so there's nothing more boring than perfection. I like to talk about this because let's look at a biblical mandate, and you can look at this in your Bibles if you want, but we're going to kind of crank through this kind of fast. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So if I want to be wise, and I got to use this because I actually bought it. If we want to be wise about things, I think what we want to do is we want to understand what is wisdom. One of the heartaches that I have experienced as a Christian and as an evangelist is people, Christians, telling me that it's wrong for me to do what I'm doing and telling people about Christ. Not my style, the whole fact of doing it. I've been rebuked a few times about that. And I go to this verse, he that winneth souls is wise. You want the wisdom of God in your life? You want to grow in your wisdom of God? Lead people to Christ, or try to. You know, you can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink, that's for sure. But let's be as skilled as possible and helping them understand why it's so great for them to drink of the river of life, right? This is exactly what it is. And then there's another one. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, that's the gospel, that shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. A lot of people say, well, I just wish people would get saved. Well, it would be nice if that was true, if we would tell people about it. You know, no loaves to the loafer. You know, the reason, a lot of times, the reason why people are not getting saved in our sphere is because we're not talking about it. We're not trying to lead people to Christ, right? And so we doubtless come again. So, very strenuous. Sometimes it's very strenuous to do this. You're praying, you're asking God to bless, you're ministering, and then there's that spiritual warfare that takes place. And it really is there. It really is there. But we know we don't go for the spiritual warfare just for the sake of spiritual warfare. We do that. We encounter spiritual warfare because Satan doesn't want him saved, number one. And then we encounter it and we put ourselves through that because we love people and we want to see people come to Christ. That is a real key. And then the Spirit of God gives us the skill and the wisdom. I love this. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The interpretation is talking about the New Testament canon of Scripture. But by way of application, he gives us skill in doing this. He really does. He gives us skill and he teaches us how to get better as we do something. Like when you're in the medical field, when you do a procedure, you start thinking about doing a procedure, you get better at it as you do it. The more you do it, the more you practice it, the better it is. And this is what we do. We're not practicing leading people to Christ. We can practice that, but you get really good at it. As you do it, you get better. You say, well, I failed there. I failed this way. I can improve. If I was a major league baseball player, and it's amazing to me, if I was a major league baseball player and I hit the ball only 40% of the time, I'd be making gazillions. And just for hitting the ball, 40%, that's a 60% failure rate. You know, 60% failure rate. And yet they keep getting into that batter's box and they keep swinging at the pitches, etc. Some of the greatest hitters have been some of the greatest strikeout kings. You know, and so what you've got to do is you've got to keep getting into the box. You got to keep doing it. So this is what you have to do. And the Spirit of God helps you to do this. That's for sure. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One time a guy said to me, when this verse came up, the guy said to me, does that mean we can be surgeons? Let's not be ridiculous. Whatever God asks of you to do, he gives you the power to do it. He gives you everything you need to do it. He gives it all to you. So I can do all things. Does he ask of us to have an evangelistic car wash? Well, not the car wash part, but evangelistic? Yes. And he gives us the strength and the power to do it. So, Christine, you say, okay, I'm on oxygen. I've got a wheelchair. Is God going to give you the grace to do and the talent and the skill to lead other people to Christ? So, you know, what I love about Christine Schroeder is that she comes up to me. They wheeled her and they came up and they said, she goes, do you got any, can I have like just one of those? May I ask you a question? I said, and then she goes, five do it. And we gave her a packet. And that's fantastic. I mean, that's aggressive. That's aggressive evangelism. I appreciate that very much. And have these with us all the time. Anyway, so I can do all things through Christ. So if you're sitting here and you think, I can't do this, I can't do this. You're denying this verse. Sorry, but you are. You're saying that God can't do it through you. Are you willing to say that? Are you willing to say that? I hope not. I hope not. You're willing to say that. Okay. So here's some preparation for this. Know, be, know, learn. Know the faith yourself, walk with Christ, be a worthy example. If you're robbing banks and 7-Elevens and that kind of stuff, it's tough to witness to the police. It's tough to, you know, get a, you know, a good testimony in, you know. Know and know your faith, know what you believe. We have so many resources to know things. It's unbelievable. It is. It's just unbelievable. And know and study to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be a man or a woman of prayer. Have a burden for souls. You will not have a burden for souls unless you're praying about it. Praying for the neighborhood, praying for the people, your neighbors, praying for the people that live next to you or that kind of thing. You're praying constantly for the lost. And we do this, we do pray especially when somebody is, you know, pray for the heart valve replacement, pray for this, pray that these, hey, how about pray that they not only survive it, but pray that they would come to Christ. Pray that they would, you know, that they would be hungry to see the Lord Jesus Christ when you speak to them. By the way, when we do this evangelistic car wash today, this is not the only thing. We're going to start doing door-to-door evangelism, and the way I was thinking of approaching it, the way we could probably approach the door-to-door evangelistic is one of two ways, is a survey to find out who believes what in the neighborhood. And that's an outstanding thing. It's been done and cataloged with Excel, you know, who believes what in the neighborhood, you know. Martin Crozier did that and put it on a spreadsheet. How many Buddhists we got, how many Zoroastrianism guys we got, type of thing. And it's really a powerful. And the other way is go to their door, knock on their door and just say, I'm from Calvary Bible Chapel and just wanted to know if there's anything we could pray for you on. You know, is there anything we can pray about for you? And then, you know, and pray with them right on the spot, maybe give them this piece of literature and see ya, you know, type of thing. Incredible. I mean, I think there's ways of doing things, okay? And then also, know the word of God, have a working knowledge of it. I guarantee this, you will grow in your knowledge the more you are challenged by people. And people want to know what the Bible has to say. And so you go home and you study and you get back to them with an answer. And that happens all the time. The more you give it out, the more you grow in your knowledge of it, because people will say, well, why is that? What is this? Why are you doing that? And what is, and you go, man, I better know. I better study. I better really study to show myself approved. Okay. So have a working knowledge, know the word of God, and then also learn a plan of salvation. Learn a plan, have it down. I believe in the canned approach. People say, oh, you just got it. You have it down. You know exactly where you're going to go. How carnal is that? No, it's not carnal at all. It's not carnal. In fact, what's the biggest problem that you and I face? We don't know what to say. We're sitting on a bus. We don't know how to bridge with the person. We're, you know, talking to a person that we don't know how to bridge. We don't know what to say. Have a canned approach. Know exactly what you're going to say. Know exactly how you're going to do this and have it ready to go. Then you're relaxed and the Spirit of God can start to teach you how to variate from that, And that is really an exciting thing, to vary from it. You know, all of a sudden God gives you a different way of approaching you. Oh, that's fantastic. But at least you can default to that plan that you have. All right. So in approaching individuals today, introduce yourself and have a good appearance. Okay. We don't want to look like, how you doing? You know, and we want to make sure we don't have today's lunch on our teeth. We don't have eye boogies or something, you know, stuff going up and down in your nose and that kind of stuff. We don't want to have that. You want to have, there's a number of items here that we want to look at. That's for sure. And we got to get that. Okay. So be neat and conservative in your dress. And also have your hair combed, clean hands and nails, you know, especially, you know, we're doing a car wash today, so we're not going to be super greasy, grimy, gopher gut type things going on. We're going to be, you know, we're going to look good. You're representing the Lord. Don't look like you just put your hand in the socket to comb your hair, you know, that type of thing. If that works for you, then go ahead. Don't do that though. You don't have a second chance to make a good first impression. Understand that. You do not have a second chance to make a good first impression. People are judging your Savior, and they're judging Calvary. They're judging you first glance. Hate to say it. That's the life. That's the way it is. They do it. Don't let your man... Don't let your mannerisms detract from the gospel. Don't let them detract. I've seen guys preach like that. Guy's coughing up his whole lungs, it seems like, or he's screaming into the microphone. It's like, wow. Don't let something like that detract from Christ and his message. And when you're doing this today, stand comfortably and erect, you know, don't, if I can borrow you just for a second, don't get up. Hey, how you doing? How's it going? You know, you're like in their face. They got no space at all, you know, and they wonder why they went into the kata, you know, and to kill you. Don't slouch or prowl like a tiger. Well, I mean, if the car comes in today, we're going to have to bend down a little bit. But don't get inside the car with them, you know. Look through their ashtray, you know, that kind of stuff. Don't do that, okay? Use your gestures sparingly. You know, you handcuff some people, they go mute, you know. You know, they can't do that. So use them sparingly. Have godly speech. Speak the truth in love, you know, be kind, even if they're rude to you. Even if they're rude, don't have to respond in like kind. Well, your car stinks anyway. I hate it. You know, hope we key it, you know, and have godly actions. Do all in the name of the Lord. Okay. Open up when you're talking to people today. Open up with a good opening sentence. I think, you know, there's some opening sentences that are not so good. You know, a good example, what would be a good example of opening up with a good line? You know, you're washing the car. And
why are you doing this? This is free. What's going on?
What would be your good opening line, Josh? That's not bad. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you're praying like crazy as to a good opening line. Murphy is a master at this. So watch Murphy today when you're doing that. You know, I think if you're a scrub nurse, and a person's about to go into surgery or something like that, you know, a good opening line is not, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? You know, they're pulling the tubes out and everything. Well, if the Lord's leading you, okay. You know, I don't think you should go, how many legs does a cow have? If God's leading you to use that, then do it, you know. Why? Four. Yes, have you heard of the four spiritual laws, you know, type of thing. How many legs does the cow have? Anyway, that was supposed to be really funny, but I guess it wasn't. Okay, so you want to be friendly, tactful, and personable. If a person has like this big wart on the end of their nose with like three hairs growing out of it long, you know, don't look at it and stare at it and go, whoa, wow, my aunt has a wart like that. She's got five hairs growing out of her. I mean, not cool, not cool. Be friendly, tactful, personable. A lot of people are doing tattoos. That's a great in, by the way. Not that you have to do a tattoo, but I always say it hurts. That must have hurt like crazy. Oh, no. Oh, the elbow did. The elbow. I was talking to a guy just the other day. He goes, oh, yeah, the elbow. The elbow killing. Really sensitive right here. And I go, oh, I've seen spider webs right on the elbow. You know, one guy goes like this. He goes, yeah, it hurt right here. And he had, and he's holding it up. Like, this is in Kroger. You know, he's got a wife beater shirt on, you know, those, he's like this, and he's going like this, and it had FYOU right down here, tattooed on his arm. And he's looking at me, what's my response? You know, I go, that had to hurt. I ignored it totally. I just totally ignored it. What a crazy person for putting that there, you know, or anywhere. And so be friendly, tactful, and personal. You know, use the person's name if you occasionally, that might be good. One of my problems is I forget it. So try to burn it into your mind. What's your name? In fact, if they're talking like crazy, that's a great way to stop them to talk. It really is. You know, you can't get a word in edgewise. Your name again? Martin. And then you go be motor mouth. You go in right into it. You know, I've had that happen and it works famously. Okay, so we've got to be friendly, tactful, and personal. That's a friend of mine. Yeah. He's no longer with us. Okay. Okay. Deal. deal with the person. Deal with him or her from the Bible. You might have a large Bible in a situation like we're today is not probably appropriate. But unless they're blind or something like that, or really can't see, phones are really good to use when you're doing that. But, you know, and then make sure they can actually read it. But deal with the Bible. Deal with them with the Bible or from the Bible. And that's what you want to do. Why is that twice? It's emphasis. Okay. Speak clearly and avoid theological or church language. We're in a church parking lot. That's how the world's looking at this, you know. But don't use church language, you know. Hey, how you doing? Are you saved? You born again? You know, I asked a bunch of kids at an Awana thing. I said, okay, what does it mean to be born again? They all raised their hand. Well, you expect that in Awana, right? They all know. The kid goes to be reincarnated. No, this is in a church situation to be reincarnated. I saw in the back of a newspaper in New York City, the New York Post, and back they have their sports section. You have the front page and then flip it over. They have the front page for the sports, right? And you flip it over, it says, the Mets born again. I didn't know they were all Christians. You know, so you've got to avoid churchy theological language, and don't use the language of Zion. Explain biblical terms, even sin. People have a whole different definition of what sin is. They have they've redefined everything, and never use slang, but use wholesome and gracious words. I've made all these mistakes. I've made them all. I got to tell you right now. And don't use any type of language that would detract or bring offense to the Savior or his message, the gospel. I would avoid any Christian jokes that you might have in your bailiwick. Just, I would avoid them, you know, because people might get offended. I told a Christian joke one time about heaven, you know, and it was really kind of cute and funny. It wasn't gross or anything like that. And the guy I told it to, he looked at me and he said, "I thought you Christians believed in heaven. I wouldn't trivialize that." And he walked away. And I learned a big lesson. I'm not going to trivialize this. It's nothing to joke about. Okay, I love the way I do this. If possible, deal with a member of the same gender. If possible, it's not always possible, but if possible, deal with a member of the same gender. Why is that? Why do you think? Anyone? Yep. We actually do have genders, and people feel comfortable with that. What would be, Bill, what would be the exception to that? Not necessarily in this setting, but in on campus or in the city. Huh? You have two people, okay, that the exception would be if the person is a homosexual or you know, a drag queen. We've talked all, I'm serious. They would rather talk to a woman. They would rather talk, if the guy is a homosexual, he feels much more comfortable talking to a lady than with me, because, you know, there's conflict going on in his heart type of thing. And that's what it is. And I've turned it over to a teammate. Now, if a person, you know, you deal with the same gender, that's especially on the street. In our situation, it's not such a big deal with the car wash, you know, but with on the street situation, or even door to door. Door to door, what we do with door to door is if a lady answers the door, we do not go in if she's by herself. Even if she invites us in, we don't do it. We stand on the stoop, we stand on the thing with the door open, etc. But we don't go in. Why? Anyone? Come on. Yeah, you could have that person say that you tried to do all manner of certain things, and you're cooked. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's what we have to be. Deal with the, if possible, deal with the member of the same gender. Not always possible, especially on the streets, but try to find a quiet and undisturbed place to talk. You've got to be very careful here as well. You have to be very careful here as well, especially with children. When we're dealing with children, which we're not, we're talking about adults, but when you're dealing with children, you do not get them alone. You do not, you get them alone in a crowded area. That's for sure. You don't take, well, let's go in this room and shut the door. No, 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 no. If you do that, you're setting yourself up for huge failure. All they got to do, all they've got to do is accuse. It doesn't have to be right. It doesn't have to be true. All they got to do is accuse you. And you're going to get yourself a lawyer. They're going to shut down this place. They're going to shut down the Awana thing. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And false accusations are flying all over the place. So we go, wise as serpents and harmless as a dove, you know. But when I talk to a child, and we're going to do a 5-day good news club right over here near the end of the street, BB Street. We're going to do that. You don't touch the kid. You don't hug the kid, touch the kid or anything. And then what you do, because if they don't have a good family life, all of a sudden you are becoming their emotional security blanket type of thing. You don't want that. You want to lead them to Christ. So this is an important factor for us. But when you talk to a child, like in an Awana situation, when you talk to the child, have all the action that is taking place at their backs, not your back, at their back. So if we're having games and doing all that kind of stuff, that it's on their, it's behind them. Why? Why is that? They don't get distracted. They're looking at the games. They're looking over here. They're watching that kind of stuff. Flip them around. You know, we have them at their back so you can talk to them. But you're in a public area. You're not weird. It's not if they falsely accuse you of something, of touching you and of touching them inappropriately type of situation. And that can happen. I've heard of in Los Angeles, it was really true. There was a big case of that very thing. And that kid lied. And they shut down the daycare center. They put that guy in jail. He had to get a lawyer. He had to clear his name. All this kind of stuff because a kid lied. They'll believe a child before they believe you. Absolutely. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But you don't want to have it where you want to get it quiet and undisturbed. With an adult, this is really true. This is really true. You can take them and, you know, a lot of times on the street, people will ask for food, you know, go get them some, you know.
Can you give me some money for food?
How much you need?
Oh, $30.
You know, no, I'll buy it for you, but I'm not going to give you the money, you know, because of drugs or whatever. Okay, so also what to teach on this, the basic elements of salvation, faith and repentance. Okay, this is the core, the guts of what we're talking to people about, faith and repentance. Faith and repentance, they are inseparable. This is why we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. You know, we need to know what these terms mean and what it means. Repentance does not mean I'm going this way in my life and I turn and go this way in my life. Doesn't mean that. It means a change of mind. Now, I might have a change of my mind and then the action turns me to go do something else, right? But that's the fruit of repentance. Repentance simply means a change of mind. I want to get people change their mind about who Jesus is, who they are. They're sinners. They can't save themselves from their own sin, and that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And so cover the gospel message thoroughly. Now, what I love about this booklet is it does that very thing. And for us, today, you can take somebody through. Just read it. Just read the thing. You don't need a course in apologetics. You don't even need a course in personal evangelism. You can just go right through this and take your time with it. You know, go right through it. Hi, may I ask you a question? Can I take that booklet and show you something? Yeah, what? Has anybody ever taken a Bible and shown you how you can know? You know, I have had so many people read this with me. In fact, in New York City, one time, a guy took it out of my hands because I was going too slow. It's like in New York, he took it right out of my hands and he just went as rapidly as possible. And he was trying to lead me to Christ. He's giving it to me. I'm going, oh, that's cool. That's cool. And what I love about this edition, and I know it's coming up on this because I've read it prior to doing this. So does this make sense to you? And when I saw that coming down, he was Puerto Rican, black. He was half Puerto Rican, half black. And he's going, oh, I go to church. I don't steal. I'm a good person. He's going, and I see this coming. Does this make sense to you? I said, your name again? He tells me his name. I said, does this make sense to you? He looked at me, changed gears. He goes, yeah. This is with 20,000 people passing our spot all over. It's such a distraction. This guy was trying to sell me candy, you know, and he was, you know, you're standing there. I said, does this make sense to you? He goes, yeah. Yeah. I go, wow, I know it's coming up. Is there anything keeping you from trusting Christ right now? And he looked at me and he said, no. I just followed this. And he trusted Christ as a Savior. Right there on the street. It was fantastic. I mean, I want to jump. And then you keep going. It's got the sample prayer. And then what just happened? Follow-up begins. It's outstanding. This is the best thing. We even got this in Spanish. In Spanish, too. So we've got a boatload of them here. So take some with you today. Take a few and put them in your pocket. Okie doke. Okay, what the gospel is. So it's the death, burial, and physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the deity of Christ. That is so important. He's got to be God in the flesh, a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? People have a different views. You get a Christian Scientist coming through the car wash today. Christ is a principle. He's not a person. Sin is phantom. There's no such thing as sin. With a Christian Scientist. So what you got to do is you got to explain things. Why did Jesus Christ come? And then how did he save us? What are the mechanics? What are the motives? Why does he love us so much? Why did he do that? What's the meaning of that? And then the atonement through the blood of Christ, his atonement. And then, who is man? Why is he in trouble with God? What can man do? Can't do anything. Salvation is by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. I got to tell you something. This is work. This is work. And I know that we're going through these slides and maybe you can't even see them type of thing. But I got to tell you something. When you talk to that person about Christ and they trust Christ as their Savior, I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing better than that. There's no better feeling to know that that person passed from this life into is going to heaven, is going to go into heaven when they die. And you know that's for a fact. Because that's the bottom line, isn't it? Isn't that the bottom line? We're doing all this stuff. We're here. God has kept us here. We're all there. For what reason? To be salt and light to people. Get them thirsty for the gospel and for God. And get them, and then show them who Jesus is. That's why we're here. We're not here to make money. We're not here for our careers. We're not here for anything else. We're here to be salt and light. That's why he's left us. So it's going to be fantastic. And that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Get them into the Bible in terms of the follow-up. It's some basic plans. May I ask you a question? Booklet. It's the best gospel tract I've ever seen. In fact, I don't use it. Would you like a tract? No. Would you like a piece of literature? track, they don't have any idea. If they're a former drug user, maybe they're doing tracks up the arm or between the toes or that kind of stuff. I'm serious. You know, I've seen so many people there, you know, it's got to be 115 degrees out and they're wearing long sleeves. That ought to tell you something. Either they got poison ivy and they don't want it to spread, or these guys are doing lines. They're doing heroin and they're trying to find the vein. And a lot of times when they do that, they're doing it every day and they're making tracks. And so some people, this is a piece of literature, and it's not Lionel either. Lionel trains, train track. Romans Road, other clear and simple gospel literature. The Bridge by Navigators, Four Spiritual Laws, fantastic. Here's the Romans Road, etc. Okay. Lead the person to the point of decision. This will help you do that. This will help you lead a person to a point of decision. Is there anything? I love this. Does this make sense to you? Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes. Is there anything? Now you're leading them to a point of decision. Is there anything keeping you from trusting Christ right now? You're just reading that with them. You know, so it takes all the pressure off you. You know, is there anything keeping you from trusting Christ right now? And they, a lot of times they'll go, I mean, majority of the times, 80% plus, they're going to go, no, nothing keeping me. Then why don't you ask them? Why don't you do this? Okay. And then it even tells you that. And think carefully. If there's nothing more important than, I can't read this, then you need to trust Christ, would you like to tell him right now that you're doing that? You're leading him to the point of decision. This is outstanding. It takes the timid person. It does. It takes the timid person and makes him into a warrior. It really does. They go right through it. Just all you got to do is read it, and it is outstanding. So you might want to ask if they have questions. Why do you think we need the Lord Jesus? Generally speaking, I got to tell you, if you're using this piece of literature, and this is what makes it so effective, most people don't, they know. Why do you think we need the Lord Jesus? You know, if a person says, well, I don't think we need him, he's just a great example. You got work to do. You know, they're not there yet. And what difference would it mean if we left Jesus Christ out of the whole equation? What is there any difference on this? And they go, no difference at all. But majority of the people that I have talked to have said, oh, he's it. He's number one. I mean, he's the reason. You know, if we left Jesus out, it's over. I'm going, yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. If someone were to ask you how they could get saved from their sin, what would you tell them? That is a great, one of the great things in talking to people about Christ. Here's a line that I have come to use. I didn't always use this, but I've grown in this a little bit. And this is one of the great lines that I've asked. I come up to the person and I say, you know something? I got 3 minutes to live. I got 3 minutes to live. I don't, but let's just say I did. Let's pretend I got 3 minutes to live. Doctor, I just come from the doctor's office. He said, Chris, get your affairs in order. You got 3 minutes to live. And I want to get to heaven. What would you tell me how I could get to heaven? Go ahead, tell me. What would you say to me? If I came to you and I said, I got 3 minutes to live, what would you say to me? And they go, oh, I've had people go like this. They go, well, be a good, oh, that won't work. Or I've had them say, you need to believe on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, you need to do that right away, right now. And if they're stumbling and halting, I'll put a little pressure on them just to make it a little sting a little bit for them. You know, and I'll say 2 minutes, 30 seconds. two minute warning. And they go, I don't know. What is it? What should you do? You're right into it. That's a great question. You find out where they are. You find out where they are. And that tells you where they are spiritually. That's for sure. If you're to die tonight, where would you be? I had a kid one time say to me, I'd be in the funeral home. I go, yes. But I understand. But where would your soul be? Where would you go? And if you're to die tonight and stood before God, why should I let you enter my heaven? What would you say to him? These are pretty standard questions, and you want to lead to the point of decision, and that is they want to have a proper understanding. What I love about this piece of literature is, so take one on your way out today before you go to dinner, put them in your purse. Christine did it. Don't worry about that. You got 25 to 50 or whatever those number is for that. 25, I think, of that. They're 18 cents a piece. Actually, they're more now. They're, I think, 28 cents. Crocs, you know. But, I mean, you know, they're expensive little guys. So, but take them and use them. These are outstanding pieces of literature. And I've done this with somebody who's Hispanic. I've given them this, and they look at this, and I've gone side to side with it. I've gone side to side, and it's really good, really, really, really cool. In fact, they make it that way, too. They make a side to side like this, one piece of literature. They make it just like this. It's really cool. I love Evantel. Sample prayer. You have one here, and this is like forever. That's a sample prayer you could use. This has one in there. I would use this one. This is outstanding. Afterwards, if the person's prayed and received Christ as their Savior, Jesus has saved them, not the church, not anything, but the Lord Jesus himself. This is what's happened to them, etc. Enter God's family, been given eternal life. His sins or her sins have been forgiven. God will never leave them nor ever forsake them. Wow. Isn't that fantastic? This is the good news. Reassure the person of the decision by asking, you know, what did you just pray? What has Jesus done for you? Where is he right now? I asked that of a child. And it was so cool. It was just so cool. This kid must have been reading theology books, because the child said to me, "Where is he right?" He had just trusted Christ. This is in Brooklyn. He goes, I said, where is he right now? He goes, he's at the right hand of the Father. I said, you've been reading Charles Ryrie's Basic Theology? What is this? You know, and I go, that is so true. I mean, I just started cracking up. I just started laughing because he's right on. Okay. Will he ever leave you? No. I've done that with adults. Will he ever leave you? No. No, no. Why? Or yes, why? If you sin, what does God want you to do? Confess it. Because a lot of people, they trust Christ as their Savior, and they say, well, I can't keep this going. I can't keep this going. Well, God keeps it going for you. And even if we sin as a Christian, it's a whole different relationship. Be careful of false assurance if the person's not sincere, or that you sense from them that they don't want it, or they don't want it, or they don't understand it. So we have Mailbox Club cards for today. These will send them Mailbox Club lessons. They're outstanding lessons. We have adult, we have children, and we pass these out like crazy. We're going to do the same thing at the, Richmond Good Old Days. We have a table there. write out legibly. You fill it, especially with children, you fill it out. You know, you fill this out, have their parent fill that out with them, write legibly so you can understand it. There's nothing more than when you tell a kid they're going to get something in the mail and you can't understand it, you can't read it. So you might want to, but have them send it in. Have them, have their parents help them fill it out and put a stamp on it. Okie doke. Anything? Encourage church attendance. We're not here having this car wash today to pack the pew or pack the seat. We're not doing that. We're doing this because we want to see people saved. Period. End of story. We don't want people to feel merchandised. All you want to do is get us to come to your church. No. If you come to our church, it's great. We got air conditioning. We got fans. It's nice. But here's some suggestions for you, which our time has evaporated. If you're talking to somebody and you're with somebody else, you know, you're with a partner, only one person does the talking unless you're invited in. Otherwise, you'll have problems with that individual, with your partner. You will. And you might go somewhere else that they're not intending to go. Only one person does the talking, and the other person is praying. If they invite you to come into the conversation, then you come in, and then you exit. You answer the question, and then you exit the conversation. And then you stand there and you're praying. When we go door to door, you might be playing with the dog, you know, or if the dog's eating your arm, you know, give him your other. I mean, that's that scripture passage, right? If he, your cheek. Yeah. Okay. All right. Don't get sidetracked. Stick with the issue. Man, this can happen all the time. No matter the outcome, thank the person for coming and being with you and witnessing to them. And there's some good books to read on this. The how-to book, talk to Murphy about that, about the how-to on personal evangelism by Larry Moyer. And it's outstanding. Hey, thanks so much for listening to me. Let's close in prayer. Okie doke. Father, we just ask you that you would just really minister to us and help us and protect us. Help us and give us many people that want to get a free car wash and help us to talk to them about your son and help us to be effective in this. And give us strength and stamina. Many of us are taking naps at this time. And we just ask you that you would just really help us at this. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.